Jesus gets in trouble with the religious leaders because he's sharing a table, sharing a meal, and having a good time in conversation with these tax collectors and these sinners. Probably the most rejected people by the Pharisees. Jesus is a friend to sinners. And it creates an uproar with the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus' answer to their disgust of his behavior tells three stories, actually. And we have two of the three stories in our text today. The first one is about the lost sheep. There's a shepherd that has 100 sheep. One of the sheep goes astray, and the shepherd leaves the 99 unattended. They didn't have fences that they used back in those days, or leashes on each individual sheep, and goes after the one. This isn't really a good farming practice. It's better, probably, to cut your losses of 1% and preserve the 99 that have remained, and to not enable this wayward sheep's waywardness and poor behavior. Then Jesus describes how the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders and has to proclaim to all his friends and neighbors, "Rejoice with me, the sheep that I lost has been found." And so he throws a party for the sheep that he restores back to the 100. So, Jesus says, it is for the sinner, which, footnote, is all of us. When we repent and we come back into the fold of the Good Shepherd, all the angels in heaven also rejoice with Jesus when we come home. And then he tells the story of the woman who loses one of her 10 coins. This was just an ordinary woman of the day. There's nothing extraordinary about her except the way she behaves. She loses one of these 10 coins, and she tears her home up. Probably her floor was a dirt floor, most likely. The coin, she suspects, was dropped or accidentally dropped onto the floor. And so she gets down on her hands and knees after she lights a lamp to illuminate the floor. She gets her knees and her elbows and her forehead into the dirt to find this coin. And then when she finds it, it's not enough that she found the lost coin. She also has to share that joy with her friends and neighbors and says the same refrain, "Rejoice with me, for the coin that I lost had been found." In many ways, this is a ridiculous way to behave. I suspect that when she threw this party, she probably spent more on the party than the coin was maybe even worth. But because of her joy and because she wanted to share her joy for this inanimate object of worth, of material worth, she could not contain herself. She wanted to invite everyone else into the joy. And so it is, I think, Jesus tells us, with human beings. We who have inestimable worth before God, that he also wants to invite not only our friends and neighbors, fellow believers, but also the whole company of heaven. Notice the scribes. They are like the privileged and the rich who, if they lost a silver coin on their floor, they probably would just continue to trample upon it. It probably wouldn't be worth it to tear up their homes or sweep. I can't imagine a Pharisee or a scribe getting on his knees and elbows with his forehead in the dirt when he's wearing such nice white robes. And so it is with these sinners that are treated as discarded and even worthless. They would rather Jesus sweep them under the rug to be forgotten and ignored. I run almost every day here in the hills nearby, and I often see coins. And I have a rule. I'm not going to stop running for a penny. It's not really worth me stopping. But one time I found $30. And so I stopped, and then I thought, well, there's probably one of those students waiting for the bus that maybe dropped their lunch money here. So I did stoop over and pick that up. So this woman found this coin that she felt was of great worth as a reminder to us of a God's worth that he has for us. God is like this woman who lights the lamp. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God's word tells us that we are worthy because of Christ and his worth. The word tells us that Jesus is a friend to sinners and that no one is beneath him stooping down and getting his knees dirty and his elbows and his forehead in the dirt for us, which is what he did when he became human. Even his forehead facing the cross and the empty grave. The religious leaders, on the other hand, would rather just trample and despise and treat with contempt these people who they felt were beneath them. When I was young, I watched a movie about a person named Joni Erickson Tada. Joni Erickson Tada was a 17-year-old high school student, an athlete, full of promise, she was vibrant. She was a person of faith, but she had an accident when she was 17. She was diving, and she ended up in that accident being paralyzed from the neck down. Because of that accident, she couldn't do all the things that she had planned to do for the rest of her life. And so she started to fall into depression, into despair, knowing that her life would be forever changed. There was no hope of her recovering her mobility. And so she was trapped, she felt, in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. She also felt unseen and worthless. People didn't want to look her way when she was in public. They would often look the other way. And so she started to contemplate ending her own life. She felt that she was convinced that her life was over and no longer worth living. But she began to feel that light, that lamp being lit by Jesus. She heard the word of God and his promises in her life. She felt the sweeping of the Holy Spirit brushing away the shame and the hopelessness away from her life. She started to discover a new sense of herself. She found her voice. She started to speak publicly about her experience and what God had done in her life. She asked for a paintbrush to be placed in her mouth so that she could paint. She started to host a radio show. There was a movie made about her. She's still podcasting. You can still watch her on YouTube. I just watched a video in the last week where she was giving a message about hopelessness and suicide to try to give people hope and a new sense of what God might be doing. When I was in the Dominican Republic, I was visiting a church in Santo Domingo, and they had a ministry, a daycare, and a residential care for disabled young people in their community. Because some people in that community believed, not all of them, but some of them believed that their disabled child was God's punishment. So they were ashamed. They would keep their child at home, hidden away from society. And this church, whose members had a similar experience with their own children, invited them to come out and to be seen, and to be valued, and to be cherished, along with their parents, to hear the gospel, to hear, as we do in another story, where the man who's born blind, it's not his fault or his parents' fault that he has this disability. She started a global ministry, Joni did, that impacted the Dominican Republic and all over. It's called Joni and Friends, where she spreads this dignity and humanity and belovedness of Christ to all people. This is the point of Jesus' story. God is like the woman. Jesus is like this woman who's frantically searching and pursuing you and me to recover what is of inestimable value in the gospel. He invites us to that same table, the table where sinners eat with Jesus, where we too experience that we are also deeply loved, where he gives us his body and his blood. And we recognize, like Paul did in our reading, that if we really know ourselves apart from Christ, that we too would say we are the chief of sinners, but we are still welcome. We're invited to rejoice with the Master, because what has been lost has been found. You and I are God's beloved possession. In the name of Jesus, amen.